We are overjoyed today with Paige's daughter going through her operation the way that she did. And we're glad that you're here this morning. Alda, we're glad you're here this morning. If you remember, we started out last week and pointed out that the Holy Spirit fills our heart with love and that everything that we do is supposed to be by love. And sometimes I think we forget that, and we need to recognize that if we're going to love, that is how we fulfill the law. Whenever we find that love, we notice that the Spirit also is the revealer. He's the one that reveals the things of God. And so this is going to take you, and this is not in my lesson, but I'm going to read it anyway. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, this is where we're going to begin today. Ephesians 2. Starting in verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ." I want you to notice there that he says he made us alive together in Christ. It all centers in Jesus Christ. And life, when he's talking about that life, is something that is spectacular. He's not talking about just this life. In fact, in 1 John, he says, we have discovered the life. We have found the life, where life comes from. And that life comes from the Word. And that Word is Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about that life today because, yes, when we were buried with Christ in baptism, we were raised to walk in newness of life, and that's spiritually. In our spirit has changed. But I want you to notice something. Our body did not change. That our body is still the same. If you went in ugly when you were baptized, you come out ugly. It didn't change one thing about you physically, but it changed you spiritually, and you have the love of Christ in you. And that love of Christ is going to be seen everywhere that you go. You become a walking testimony about Jesus Christ and the reality of being a Christian. So we're going to talk about that life today. And I guess I better turn this on. That the Spirit gives life to the body. Now we're talking about the Spirit giving life to the spiritual body of Christ here upon the earth. You see, Christ has two bodies. He has a body that is human in heaven. What that is, we do not know yet, but someday we're going to see Christ as he really is. And we're going to be like him. That is, we're going to be completely controlled by a spiritual life, and we're not going to have the temptations we're going to have. And that's mainly what I want to talk with you about today. I want to talk to you about what's coming. And in Romans 8, 10 and 11, he says, "But if Christ is in you," and I want you to just think for a minute, is Christ really in you? For Christ to be in you means that he is going to direct you. He is going to direct you in what you do. He's going to direct the church, the body of Christ, in what they do. You cannot operate properly without the head directing you. If you start directing yourself by your own self, we're going to be in a mess. And he's mainly talking about the corporate body, the church. That is, he's talking about his body, the church, that he is guiding it and guiding every member and every member, while we may disagree in some things. I want you to notice something, that our arguments come from the Word of God. That everything that we do is going to be because this is what we see the Word of God teaching us. That is what the head is teaching us. And that's why we believe what we believe. And some people think that we can't have any diversity at all. And I want to tell you, the diversity is necessary. You have to have babes. You have to have mature people. And the mature people sometimes need to learn from the babes. But he is pointing out, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, in other words, we have crucified the old man, our body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies? Did you get that? How can that be? He's going to give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. When's he going to do that? Well, at the resurrection. What's going to be raised? It's going to be the mortal body. Do you remember Jesus when he died? He died in a mortal body. When he was raised, he was in an immortal body. And he is saying what happened to him is going to happen to you. He is going to change you. And if you studied 1 Corinthians 15, you would find out that this is very true. That he is going to take you and he's going to change your mortal body to an immortal body. If you remember, walking in the flesh, as we talked about this morning in class, walking in the flesh means that I'm walking by the letter of the law which kills, and I need to be walking by the Spirit of the law which gives life. And the Spirit of the law is that which is going to give life. And so he says in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Do you see what he's doing? He is taking the individual and saying, you're living in this now, and I'm going to get rid of what you are in now, and I'm going to bring you to that which is immortal. I'm going to bring you, as we said this morning, I'm going to take you out of Adam. When you crucified Adam, you got rid of him when you were baptized. That's the body of sin that you had. And now you're going to come into the new Adam, and in the new Adam, he is going to change your body into that which is like his glorious body. Now, the Bible doesn't say what that glorious body looks like. And in 1 Corinthians 15, they ask the question, well, what kind of a body is it going to be? And he said, well, that's a ridiculous question, really. He said, it's going to be the kind of body that God wants it to be. That's the kind of body it's going to be. Can we be satisfied with that? I'll tell you what, every day that I wake up, I'm wanting another body. This body is not very good anymore because it's just about wore out. Every part that's on it. So we're looking forward to that day that we're going to be changed. And he is saying, I want you to recognize that that is exactly what's going to happen. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, and I want you to notice something here because John mentioned it this morning. He mentioned that we are at war with a spiritual world. That those influences are so great, and we get the idea that Satan is so big and so powerful. And I want to tell you, according to this, Satan is not powerful at all. Satan really has no power if I'm in Jesus Christ and I stay in Jesus Christ. Satan is only doing what God is allowing him to do. And I think that this proves it. He says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. First of all, in this I want you to notice that he is saying that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us. Now, do you think that power that overcame death there, if it's working in us now, that we will overcome death then? That we are going to be raised, we're going to be raised differently, and we are going to be in the same glorious body. And he says, you have this power working in you. I don't think, and when he looks, he's not looking at an individual, he's looking at the body of Christ. The body of Christ has this power in them. If we are to do what Christ started, we are to preach the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and what that means in sharing in that. And he says, he's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Is he above Satan? According to this, he is. Is he above everyone else? Yes. Is he above the politicians? Yes. Why are people following the politicians? Because the spirit of the power of darkness has overtaken them. We, as the body of Christ, have the power of Christ working in us. We need to put that in our mind whenever we think that old age is getting us or that we're crippled up or that we just can't make it anymore. He says the power that works in us is greater than the power that works in the world. How do we overcome the world? Anybody remember? Faith overcomes the world. If you overcome the world, does the world have control over you? No. If the world doesn't have a control over us, who does? Well, Jesus Christ does. He is over us, and he is telling us what he wants us to do, and we have that power that we're going to overcome all problems that exist. There is no problem that we cannot overcome with the power that is in us. He put all things under his feet. Did you get that? He put all things under his feet. Is Christ ruling? Is Christ sovereign? Yes, he is. He is over all things. And then he says, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. What does that really mean? You know, we use a lot of words and we talk about this. If you notice, whenever we talk about baptism, what's baptism for? It's for the remission of sins. Don't you get tired of hearing that? I do. It's the same old sermon, same old sermon, same old sermon. Baptism is so much more than that. Baptism is much more than that. It is actually crawling upon the cross and getting there with Jesus because we are crucified with him. And if we're crucified with him, then we are buried with him. We get rid of that old Adam, bury that there, and we come up and we're going to walk by the new Adam, which is Jesus Christ, and we're going to walk by that. And that is great power over everything that comes along. He says, the church is his body, and what's the Spirit doing in the body? It's giving it life. Now, have you ever gone to a congregation and you just feel like, I don't want to go back? And what's wrong? Well, it seems like they're dead. Well, maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe we just take it wrong. But I think the point is here, that if you have life in you, that is all of the vibrance that you need, and that ought to show in every member of the church. Every member of the church ought to show that. The body of Christ is there preaching the gospel. The body of Christ is there suffering for Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. And if you are suffering for Christ, then we're reigning with Christ. Do you realize where we have been seated in our mind? He says that we're seated at the right hand of God. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's where our mind is. Put your mind above where Christ reigns. That's what we're to do. He says that's the fullness of him that fills all in all. When I look out here, I say over here to Crystal, what fills you up? And she has to say, well, Jesus Christ fills me up. He gives me everything that I need, everything that I want for this life and for godliness. I am filled with Christ. And he's going to fill us until that final day when he finally turns it back over to the Father, and that God may be all in all. But right now, he has filled us with everything that we need, and we need to recognize just how powerful that is, that Christ, and if you are in Christ, then you are the one that is showing Christ in the world. Do you realize, let me move away a little bit. Do you realize that when we take the Lord's Supper, it's not just having crackers and... Do you know why? Jesus said, I'm going to partake of it with you in my Father's kingdom. That means that his Spirit is here. You know, if I could just produce the finger of Jesus Christ, if I found that, and I say, this is the bone of the finger of Christ, and I've got it here, and it's going to be on display at Port Hueneme on the first day of the week, you know what? We'd have everybody here. But the body of Christ is meeting here, and he is here partaking with us, because when the body eats, the head eats, if we're doing it the way God tells us to. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we come to singing, didn't Jesus say something about, in the midst of the congregation will I sing praises unto thee? Whenever you and I sing, it's Jesus singing with us. We need to get the idea that Jesus is here. He knows what's going on here in this assembly. He knows what's going on in our heart. He is over all. He fills everything up that we need filled. And then in Ephesians 4:15, he says, but speaking the truth in love. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. It's not so hard to speak the truth because the Bible is the truth. But to speak it in love, and if you notice, sometimes we use it as a weapon. You follow that? We make all these rules that maybe God didn't make, and we use these rules to control everybody. Speak the truth in love. What does that mean? That means that whenever I get on to Robbie for being late, that I'm doing it because I love him. Right, Robbie? You know I love you? Do you know I love you? He said, if I'm speaking the truth in love, it means that everything that I'm going to do towards another member is going to be with the right motive. 1 Corinthians 13 tells you, if you don't have the right motive, it may do other people a lot of good, but it won't do you any good. So my motive has to be right, and that is love, and love is not some gushy feeling. I look at Don, and I'm not going to kiss him. No, I look at him and I say, I want to help Don in every way possible. I want him to be at the height of his ability, and I want to help him get there. And it says that we may grow up into him. That means that, you know, when you grow up, you've got growing pains. Do you realize that? You've got growing pains when you're growing up in Christ. It's hard. We have just said to the old man, you can't live anymore. I'm not going to let you live anymore. But he keeps trying to pick back up. No, you sit there, you shut up, sit there. That's hard. I am trying to grow in Christ, who is the head. And what does that mean? Well, if he's the head, he's the one that's doing the thinking for us, and I'm just picking up his thinking. Isn't that true? Is that true? Okay. So Christ is the head, and everything that we do is to be done to the praise and glory of God, and certainly that we're to have authority for everything that we do. Now, I've heard it said by many that everything that we do religiously, we are to have authority from God. I don't think it says, I think it says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord is the same as by the authority of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? Everything that I do is to be by the authority of Christ. That's an interesting concept. Very hard to live out, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians 12:14, a body does not function as one member. Boy, I'll tell you, my personal relationship with God is good. He said it's not about your personal relationship as much as it is the church's. Right? The corporate body of Christ. That is all Christians everywhere. It's not one member, but many. Isn't he referring to this body and giving an illustration for the body of Christ? Isn't he saying, you know what? Think about your own body and then think about Brother Jarman. Think about when Christ said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was he persecuting? The church. When you persecute the church, you persecute who? Christ. This is the connection we have. We're not just one member, but many. He goes ahead and he points out, third, the Spirit gives organization. He gives life, yes, but the Spirit gives organization. People say, well, how are you organized at Port Hueneme? Well, how are we organized? What is our mission? What are we trying to do? Those are questions that we need to ask. You know, it's always been interesting to me that God says that man is the head over his home. And one of the things that you do in the home is you be sure that if the wife wants to say anything, she's to shut up. Right? That doesn't work very well. That doesn't work very well. And we have the idea, well, in the church, have you ever heard of the men's business meeting? You ever heard of that? Yeah. Is that what the Bible says? I'm just asking, is that what the Bible says? Or does all five times that it mentions a business meeting, the whole church was in agreement? Now, I'm going to tell you, sisters, you can give, but you can't know anything about the business. That is foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 12:3-8, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You mean even those people out there that are not members of the church, they're calling Jesus the Son of God? They can't do that except they got it from the Scripture. They got it from God. They got it from the Holy Spirit. You can't get it any other way. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I'm using King James. I don't really like that translation as much, but it's good. Do you mean to tell me that the only way that somebody can call Jesus the Lord is by the Holy Spirit allowing it? I think that's what it means, don't you? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You know what? Sometimes we do not recognize the great teachers that we have in congregations. Sister Giles is a great teacher. Now, she doesn't teach up here, sitting up here and like this. But you teach a lot of women, don't you? You teach a lot of girls. You girls been taught by your mother? Okay, well, I thought women were not supposed to do that. And there are diversities of operations, same God which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What did you think of my sermon last Sunday? It was pretty good, wasn't it? What was it for? Hopefully it is to profit you. It is for the church. If I go preach somewhere else, I hope that I'm profiting members that are members of the body of Christ. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now I want you to realize he's talking about here when the church first started, and he's talking about the miraculous gifts. But I want to ask you, just right in the midst of this, did God give you a talent? Absolutely. And are you to find out what that talent is? And if you're to find out what that talent is, are you to use it to bless the church, to help others, and to bring others to Christ? To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul says that how by revelation was made known to me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you can get my knowledge in the mystery. They got it one way, we get it another, but first of all, we are going to go back and we're going to find out, what did Paul say? What did Paul mean? That's the problem in our studies. We always find out what they say, but we don't really know what they mean. I used this illustration before. I think I used it with Peggy the other day. My teacher sat there and she said, 2 + 2 = what, Mason? 6. He said, no. 2 + 2 = what? 8. No. 2 + 2 = what? 4. You got it. So every time she would ask me what are 2 + 2, I would say 4. And I always got it right. But I had never understood the question. I had learned to answer it properly, but I never got the question. One day, my second grade teacher came in. She put 2 apples here, 2 apples here, and she says, here's 1, here's 2, here's 3, here's 4, 2 + 2 = 4. And I said, wow, I got it. Many times when we read the Word of God, we get the answer, but we don't know what the question really was. We need to go through the question, find out what's God really saying here. Oh, we read about Jesus crying. We say, well, that's tender. Why was he really crying? And I'll just say this as a preview of what's coming, because next week I'm going to go off of this, and I'm going to tell you why I believe that Jesus was not forsaken on the cross. But I'm going to tell you, I also do not believe that our sins were put on him, nor do I believe that the world's sins put on him. And that's going to what I'm going to preach next Sunday. But right now, and so I hope you're interested enough that you'll come back and find out. And you may walk away and say, he's crazy. That's okay. That's okay. Straighten me out. He is pointing out over and over that the Holy Spirit is giving us organization. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 30, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now think about that. I know this, that if I were talking right now and talking to Leah and telling her what I believe, she would say, well, I don't agree with you on that. And I would say, well, why don't you agree with me on that? And she said, well, because I understand the Scripture to say this. We are both going to make an argument upon how we see the Scriptures. People say sometimes you ought not to use a commentary. I'm going to tell you something. When you are here Sunday morning, you're hearing a commentary that I'm giving you. Whether it's right or not, that's up to you to figure out. So you have a great responsibility, but you're listening to a commentary. This is how I understand the Scriptures. Am I right? I believe so. But am I right? You may say, well, no, I don't think you are. Well, then help me and tell me where I'm wrong. He says, so we're all drinking out of the one Spirit, that is from the Word of God. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not the body? Well, my hand does that ever some once in a while. So I don't like that guy. I don't like him over there. Let's get rid. No, that's foolish. We work in unison to make this body function properly. And as I said, when this hand goes to sleep, I start rubbing it like this, trying to help it. That's what we're to do. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they are all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Now I'm going to tell you, you have to agree with me for us to ever get along. And Jordan right away is disagreeing with me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We try to control people because we see things so clearly, and maybe we don't see as clearly as we think we do. We are all in agreement that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, and so on. We all are in agreement with that. And if we're not, we can't be in fellowship. And he goes on. And he says, even those parts that are not comely, that they're very important. Every member is important. And every member needs the due respect that we are to give each member. I loved what my sister said. You remember her. She was in a wheelchair, and some of you remember, some of you didn't meet her. She was in a wheelchair, and she was always my hero, and she would get on to me pretty bad, her little brother. But she said, you know what, Mason? When you are preaching, I listen to see that the Word of God is being preached. I don't see you as my brother, except in brother in Christ. I see you as one that is supposedly giving us the Word of God. And didn't they say something like that in the Bible? You took it as the Word of God. God set some in the church, first apostles. What would the church be without the apostles? We would be in a mess, wouldn't we? And prophets, teachers, governments, elders, and so on, diversities of tongues. You remember how long those were going to last? I could give you a quick lesson. They were going to last 70 years. Or 40 years. I'm sorry. 40 years. Way back in Micah 7:15, sometimes just go back there and study it. He says, and study it from King James and you'll get the right message. He said there, I will show wonders according to the days of the coming out of the land of Egypt. Will I show wonders in those days? Supposedly in AD 30, Jesus turned the water into wine. 40 years later is AD 70. And I believe that's when all the miracles ended. Whether I'm right or wrong. Next in this series is going to be One Hope. Next week, come back, and I will try to explain why I have changed my position on God forsaking Christ and on our sins. If you're not a Christian, we would really like for you to be. We would like for you to come believing that God loves you enough that he sent his son to die upon the cross so that you could be a part of Christ, and that you would repent and confess to be him to be the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of sins after you have truly repented, confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and walk in brand newness of life as you get the blood of Christ. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?